keep in mind as we move forward. Coming to Exodus chapter 20 this morning, and again, as our wont has been, we'll read all of the Ten Commandments together, beginning to read at verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember this Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in that thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy servant, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And we're trusting the Lord again to bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired words to our hearts this morning. If you've ever been in a court of law, you have probably heard the witness taking the oath, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And this commandment this morning we're going to look at, the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, is a commandment that's there to protect a man's reputation, to protect him from those who might bear false witness against him. In ancient Israel, there was no policeman, there was no court service as we would have it today. If you were burgled or robbed or attacked, it was most likely it would be someone you know, probably a neighbor. And the onus was on you to go to the elders of the community, whether it was a city, a town, or a village, and you would bring that charge and you would bring witnesses, and those who'd be charged likewise would do the same, and then the elders would make the decision. This commandment here was to protect someone from a false accusation. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It was then the responsibility of the witnesses to take action for whatever that crime would happen to be. And a serious crime, if someone was indeed sentenced to death, it says in Deuteronomy 17, the hands of the witnesses shall be the first upon him to put him to death. And that was how the legal matters were sorted out in the days in which the commandments were written. I would say today is becoming like what we read in Isaiah 59, verse 14. Judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Truth no longer is held in the esteem that it once was. Newspapers will lie to sell papers. Stories are fabricated or exaggerated in order to sell some newspapers. Advertisers will be dishonest often with their product, exaggerating how good this product is and how good a value the product has to be. Politicians will be dishonest when it comes to getting votes. And I'm talking generally. I'm not saying every politician is dishonest. Lying has become an accepted way of life. The third commandment was one that dealt with our tongues. It was a commandment that was there to protect and guard the reputation of God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. This commandment is there to protect our neighbor's reputation. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The eighth commandment would tie our hands. Thou shalt not steal. The ninth commandment is there to tie our tongues. You know, the book of James deals a lot with the tongue. We've dealt with the book of James before, but it reminds us how powerful the tongue is. James talks about a great ship, and yet this little rudder steers the ship just like the tongue. The tongue can direct. It's a powerful thing. The tongue can destroy. James said in James 3, verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It's something that can direct. It's something that can destroy. It's something that dispenses as well. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. And I wonder this morning, as we examine this commandment this morning, do our words bless or bruise? Do our words heal or hurt? Do we use our words for love or for lambasting people? This commandment deals with a particular misuse of a lying tongue. But as I've said before, these commandments are exceedingly broad. This commandment condemns all forms of lying and dishonesty. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The word bear means to speak or testify. False simply means something untrue. Witness means to give a testimony. The word neighbor actually means an associate. It's not just the person that lives beside us. It's everybody that we are acquainted with. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Let me say something about the root of lies this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ takes us to the source of lying in John 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We are no more like Satan than when we are dishonest. When we tell a lie, we're just being like the devil himself. He lied to man about God. He said that you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil in the Garden of Eden. He lied to God about man. He said to God that Adam or Job only trusts you because there's something in it for him. And so he lied to man about God. He lied to God about man. Everything he does is lies. He's the liar, and all lies are from the pit of hell. On the other hand, God is a God of truth. God the Father, Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. God the Son, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God the Father is truth. God the Son is truth. God the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. The Word of God is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Everything God stands for is true. Satan is against everything that's true. He's against the truth of the gospel. He's against the truth of man's fall and need for salvation. There's a battle between truth and righteousness, good and evil. Every time we lie, we take the side of the devil. Every time we lie, we're standing on his side, and we're not standing on the Lord's side. Man is born with a tendency to lie. Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. We never had to teach our children to tell lies. Because we're all born in sin, we're shaping in iniquity. And of course, lying is something that comes from that sinful nature. God hates lying. There are a number of things in Proverbs that God hates. Proverbs 6, verse 17, a proud look and a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Proverbs 12, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that dwell truly are his delight. God hates lying. Lying is an abomination in the sight of God. As you know, the United States and the United Kingdom carried out some attacks just in the week that has passed in the country of Yemen. One of the missiles they used was a Tomahawk missile that can travel something like 1,500 miles, and it has an accuracy within 5 meters. If God was to unleash a Tomahawk missile in our direction every time we told a lie, how many of us would survive? God hates lying. An abomination it is to our Lord. You know, we're encouraged to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5, verse 18. One of the things that hinders or grieves the Spirit is lying. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It goes on to say, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We cannot be filled with the Spirit of God and engaging in dishonest conversation. The two things just don't happen. You remember Ananias and Sapphira. You remember that they lied. And here's what Peter said. Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? If we're full of the Holy Spirit, we'll be full of truth. If we're engaged in dishonesty, could it be that Satan has filled our hearts and has control of our tongues? What constitutes a lie? Very simple, isn't it? A.W. Pink said, speaking what is not true, deliberately doing so, and doing with an intent to deceive. The Bible knows nothing of white lies. The Bible knows nothing of little lies. The Bible knows nothing of an excuse for lies. A lie is a lie is a lie. There's a battle between the Father of truth and indeed the one who is the Father of lies. As I say, every time we lie, we side with the devil. Ephesians 4, verse 25, Paul said in the New Testament, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Something about the root of lying. Something about the reputation at risk from lying. Of course, there are two reputations at risk from lying. There's a reputation of the one that is spoken about, and there's a reputation of the one that's doing the speaking. And when we understand the importance of our reputation, then we understand how important it is that we don't bear false witness against anyone. And we understand how important it is to guard our own reputation. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death better than the day of one's birth. If we want to be respected, if we want people to respond to what we say, we need to be known as people of the truth. Men and women of our word. Honesty's not the best policy. Honesty's the only policy for a believer. There's no small print in that. God expects us to be honest and to be truthful. We read of Samuel in 1 Samuel 2, 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. If we want to be in favor with the Lord and with men, then we need to be those who are known for the truth. Something briefly about the root of lying, about the reputation at risk of those that we may attack, or indeed ourselves if we engage in lying. I want to say something about the range of ways in which we can break this commandment. Of course, it is to do with a court situation and a bearing false witness, but as I said, it covers all lying this morning. I remember Marcel and I visited the House of Commons a number of years ago when you could move in more freely. We were able to sit and listen to a debate in the public gallery. But behind the speaker's chair, there are those who are taking notes. And they're recording what's called the Hansard. And the Hansard records every word that our politicians utter. And if there's ever a dispute about what was said, they go back to the Hansard and they look in the record. And there it is. That's what you said. And that's when you said it. Something greater than the Hansard is recorded of your speech and my speech. Matthew 12, verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Augustine said, "Tongues inflict greater wounds than the sword." Watson said, "The wounds of the tongue can no physician heal." And when it comes to the misuse of the tongue, it hurts three people. It hurts the one we talk about. It hurts the one that's listening to us. And it hurts us if we are the one that is bearing false witness. How can we bear false witness? Well, we can do so through perjury or prejudice. Leviticus 19, verse 5, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor." Or it goes on to say, or honor the person of the mighty. There was always the danger that you would side with those who had something you wanted, and therefore they become prejudiced in our judgments and what we say. And of course, there's just downright lying. Colossians 3, verse 9, "Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds." Let me say something else. What you could be speaking is true. Could well be true. Does that mean it's okay? Does that mean it's okay to speak about someone, even if it's true? I've had people say to me, "I like people who speak their mind." I've had people who say to me, I'll just give you the truth. I'll tell you as it is." Is that what God always wants? Here's what Solomon said in Proverbs 29, verse 11. "A fool uttereth all his mind." Do you like to speak your mind? "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterward." You could well be telling the truth, but you're spreading it, and you're spreading it. I remember, and I was saying to Marcella this morning, we're trying to remember when we were in Coke Baptist, I remember John McFarland dealing with this subject, and he said, "Put it through some gates before you open your mouth." I can't remember the gates, but it was something like this, and this spells out the word think. First of all, T, is it true? Secondly, H, will it help? Maybe true, but what you're saying about that person, is it going to help them? I, is it inspiring? Is it something that's going to encourage? N, is it necessary? Do they really need you to be spreading gossip about them? Is it really necessary? Yes, it might be true. Think, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? K, is it kind? If the shoe was on the other foot, would you want them talking about you? You see, it's not just being dishonest, it's spreading something and spreading it unseasonably, if I can use that word this morning. Slander, of course, is spreading something that you know is not true. It's telling lies. Gossip is the sin of spreading negative information unnecessarily about your neighbor, even if it's true. It's something that doesn't need to be told and doesn't need to be spread. And it only has the aim of being hurtful rather than helpful. And you've violated the spirit of this commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Hiding truth is a way in which we can break this commandment. Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't tell a lie, but they pretended that everything they had given was totally there. They kept back part of the price. They give the impression they'd give everything. They lied. They were hiding the truth, twisting the truth. John 2, verse 19, the Lord Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Of course, he was talking about his body. Some of them took those words and they used them against them. They were called false witnesses in Matthew 26. They twisted the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Twisting truth can be bearing false witness. Every day they arrest my words and all their thoughts are against me for evil. Psalm 56, verse 5. As I said, slander is a lie invented to spread and do harm. Someone has said, at least murder is over quickly. The psalmist said, he that backbiteth, talking about someone being holy, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Psalm 50, verse 20. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. There are slander where we talk about people and spread things that are just not true. Talebearing is another thing that's in Scripture. And I was trying to, what's the difference between gossiping and slander and talebearing? Well, Proverbs 11, verse 13 talks about a talebearing as someone who tells secrets. Someone who tells secrets. I'm in a position where a lot of people come and confide in me. And it's something I guard. Something I really guard. And rarely when I even tell Marcella, unless the person says, tell Marcella that as well. People have to be able to trust you. Are you someone that would break your word and tell the secrets that someone has shared with you confidentially? Why would you do that? Why would you bear false witness? Why would you become a talebearer? You know that I was looking at different translations of the word talebearer, and this is not a word I would use, but I sort of smiled this morning. It said blabbermouthed. I've never heard that word before, but I know what it means. Blabbermouthed. Leviticus 19, verse 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Proverbs 18, verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 26, verse 20, where no wood is, then the fire goeth out. Where there is no talebearer, the strife cometh. Can't you understand that this morning? When you light the little fire and you keep throwing the wood on and then it's getting late and you say, I'll put nothing in the fire, and the fire goes out and eventually it becomes just ashes. But when it comes to that story that you've told, that false witness, whatever it happens to be, keep chucking on the wood, keep chucking on the wood, keep the flames burning brightly. The Lord said to you this morning, it's time to starve the flames of oxygen. Is it really truthful? Is it being helpful? Is it something that inspires? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Are you bearing false witness? You know, giving a false impression can also be bearing false witness. The rolling of the eyes, the raising of the eyebrows, the nod and the wink. Silence is a way in which we can break this commandment. Someone's reputation is being attacked. You know it's not true. You know what they're saying is not true. But you remain silent. And you're bearing false witness by not defending that person's character. Sometimes questioning someone's motive. David had gone to help the children of Ammon, and someone said to Hanun, their leader, you know, David's got an ulterior motive, and it led to bloodshed and trouble and war. Questioning someone's motive. As I said, silence. The day of Pentecost, you remember, they spoke in tongues, which was a known, identifiable language. It wasn't gibberish. But some said, these men are drunken. Peter defends their reputation and says they're not drunk. Peter defends their reputation. Would you defend someone's reputation, or do you enjoy too much the juicy gossip that goes on? Flattery, false praise, is a way we can bear false witness. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Psalm 12, verses 2 to 3. Whispering. Psalm 41, verse 7. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. Whisperings is mentioned in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, that I shall be found unto you as such as ye would not. And here's what this church was like in Corinth. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. They were whispering about each other, which is really just the same as gossiping. You know, the whisperers. Not whispering. Oh, I hate that whispering. I hate it because God hates it. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Listening to gossip is a way we can bear false witness. Proverbs, Psalm 15, verse 3. I read this earlier. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor. And the psalmist is asking, who is holy? Nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. See, when someone brings that juicy bit of gossip, see, when you take it up, you're becoming part of the problem. You're becoming part of the problem. You too then are guilty of bearing false witness. I can't remember who said it. It's like something Nicholson would have said. The tale bearer should be hung by the tongue, and the tale listener hung by the ears. One has the devil in his mouth, and the other has the devil in his ears. My brother-in-law's dad was never at home, and I was sort of wondering, what does this man do? And I was told he would drive what's called a D9. I hadn't a clue what a D9 was. It sounded like something out of Doctor Who. But apparently a D9 is an earth-moving piece of equipment. It's a big machine that only certain people can handle the power of it and the prestige of it. One man called his a G9. He says because it would lift dirt and it would spread the dirt. And he said the G stands for gospel. Have we any G9s in Rough Island? You love to lift the dirt and spread the dirt. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. D.L. Moody told about a lady named Hannah Moore. And she said she had a cure for gossip. When someone would come and want to talk about someone else, she would say, well, let's go and we'll see what they have to say for themselves. And that killed all gossip. Exodus 23, verse 1, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. God says, don't start the rumors, don't spread the rumors, and don't take up these rumors else. Let me say this. It's no compliment to you of people who are ready to gossip to you. It's not a compliment to you. And let me say this. If they gossip to you, they'll also gossip about you. It's no compliment if someone sees you as a ready conduit for gossip and for those who would bear false witness. I need to move on. The root cause, the reputation, the range of ways, the reaping of breaking this commandment. Let me just do this quickly. Psalm 52, verse 2. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor. It really cuts. The words of thy mouth were smoother than butter, Psalm 55, 21, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Words cut. Words pierce. James says, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison that poisons. And of course, this sin, like all other sins, can be forgiven. When I was in Grove, we used to put a lot of cassette tapes out and used to go around the neighborhood and put out these tapes. And the fellow who looked after the tapes had a demagnetizer. And apparently if you ran it over the tape, it just wiped the whole tape out. And then you were able to reuse them over and over again. The sin of gossip can be forgiven. And I'm sure you've all heard the story about the man with the pillow full of feathers. When someone came to apologize for telling lies about him and spreading false witness about him, he said, "Look, I forgive you, but let me demonstrate something." He cut open the pillow and he took it outside and he shaked it. And the little feathers went here, there, and everywhere. He says, "Now you go and gather them all up." He says, "Well, that's impossible." He says, "I accept your apology and I forgive you, but things you've said, they've gone so far they'll never be drawn in again. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Friendships can be ruined. Proverbs 16:28, "A forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." Proverbs 17:9, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." Destroys friendships. You know, there's preachers that bear false witness. They stand up on the pulpit and they say, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. They too are guilty of bearing false witness. We need to watch our words. We discover in Revelation 21 that the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. If you have an addiction to lying, I have to question your salvation. If lying seems to come so easily. Revelation 22 verse 15, talking about heaven, "For without heaven are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Liars will be in hell. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The psalmist said in Psalm 141 verse 3, something we need to pray, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." You see the root, you see the reputation, the rains, the reaping. Something to remember as I conclude very quickly this morning. We are to be honest. Zechariah 8 verse 16, "These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates." Romans 1 verse 8, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." John said, "I rejoice greatly that I found my children walking in truth." Truth is what we want to be engaged in, not dishonesty. We want to be hinderers to gossip. Psalm 101 verse 5, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer." Don't suffer talebearers. Shun them. Someone comes to gossip to you, say, "Look, I'm not interested in gossip." I promise you they'll not come back again. We want to be honest. We want to be hinderers. We want to learn the truth. Ephesians 4 verse 21, "If so that you have heard him, have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." The more we get to know the Lord, the more we learn about truth. We're to love the truth. We are to live the truth. We are to learn the truth. Psalm 51 verse 6, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden parts. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom." A careless word may kindle strife. A cruel word may wreck a life. A bitter word may hate and still. A brutal word may smite and kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It's difficult sometimes to preach these things, isn't it? Because they really rattle us, don't they? Because we start to question where we are with the Lord. And that's a good thing. But here's something that I was thinking of throughout the week, and I promise you these things come to me first because God speaks to me. We have a gospel mission coming up. And I know I'm taking these words away from the original meaning, but I'll be encouraging you to be witnesses as we approach this mission. I'll be encouraging you to speak to your friends about Christ. Invite your friends into the gospel mission. It's important that night by night we bring people in, we pray for them, we want the Lord to save them. And I'm asking you to be witnesses. Be careful you're not bearing false witness. Because if there's hypocrisy in our lives, the unsaved can spot a hypocrite a mile away. When we try to speak for Christ in one side of our mouths and slander and gossip and tell tales on the other side of our mouth, then we're bearing false witness, aren't we? We're looking for true witnesses, godly witnesses, Christ-honoring witnesses, that we might see precious souls saved by his matchless grace. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy precious word this morning. Lord, we thank you for the Ten Commandments. Lord, if we were to draw up a moral character and a list of morality for mankind, Lord, what a mess it would be. Lord, there'd be so many loopholes in it and so many ways out of it. But Lord, we thank you that you've made things so clear. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Lord, there's no loopholes. There's no white lies. There's no twisting the truth. It's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We pray, Lord, as a band of men, women, and young people in Refrylam Baptist, Lord, as we seek to witness for thee, that we'll not be bearing a false witness, but others will take note that we've truly been with Jesus, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. For it's in our Savior's blessed name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing in closing hymn number 250.